Welcome to the Reigning in Life podcast with Pastor Mtor. Join Pastor Mtor, the esteemed founder and senior pastor of Intentional Church, as he transforms lives by the Word of God. Get ready to reign in life as you tune in and listen to the transformative teachings. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
Continue with our series of increase, hallelujah, secrets of increase, amen. And so today I want to begin to teach. I'm happy my wife is here, amen. Yeah, she, hallelujah, time, amen. I always kind of come on time, amen. Out of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so Secrets of Increase, part 7. Hallelujah. Right, increase by service. Amen. We want to talk about increase by service. Do you have the thing there? Hallelujah. Amen. He's not happy. He's happy. It gives him on. 36 verses 11. So today I want to talk about increase by service. Hallelujah. Increase by service. Amen. Your life must be a life of service in the house of God, to your family, to your community, to your generation. Hallelujah. You must live a life of service. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Job 36 verses 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure, if they obey and serve him. And you know, the Bible is full of facts and also conditional statements. Hallelujah. Please just work on my sound. I think I'm hearing too much feedback or something. All right. They shall spend their days in prosperity. But there's a condition here. The first condition is obey God. Hallelujah. You must live a life of delightsome obedience. Now, partial obedience is total disobedience. Okay, partial obedience is what? Total disobedience. So if you're partially obedient, if God says, you understand, and God calls disobedient people rebellious, he calls it, he views it as rebellion. It's like you're planning anarchy before God. So it said if they obey and serve him. So there's a need for obedience and there's a need for serving. Okay, don't just obey. When you obey God, it will result in you serving people, it will result in you serving. And all service is not limited to Sunday service. Hallelujah. All service is not limited to Sunday service. Amen. There's service, there's serving that you can do in the community. Like you start an NPO, you start helping the needy. Sometime this week, we had one of the ladies who takes care of the cats. You know, we've got a cat colony here, right? So she comes around, sterilizes them, make sure that they're fine, cleanses them. You know, she does a lot of work. She was telling us that at a time it took her about a month. She was targeting a particular cat. She took a month to get a rat problem. That's why there are no snakes, because cats deal with that. I know where you come from. You think a cat is witchcraft, so you stone a cat. You understand what I'm saying? What? Black cat? The only black cat you believe in is peanut butter. You know, no. So, yeah. So, you know, and we just looked and look at this woman doing a service, Cape Townians against cats. Was this Cape Townians for cats or something like that? Against cruelty for cats, something like that. Never know her. You might never say things, but thank God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? To say, you know, you must identify an area where you are gifted to serve and serve in that area. No one is unuseful. Even the devil is useful. You understand? Yeah, even the devil is useful. Even demons have a purpose. You understand? So you notice that, so hi, Pastor, how can the devil be useful? You know, if demons don't possess people, then your gift of casting out demons is unnecessary. You understand? So everything serves a purpose. Be it good or bad, we're not discussing the merits of that today. We're just discussing that I must find a place of prosperity. So your prosperity is attached to where you are serving. Your prosperity is attached to the area of your service and also to the type of your service. Would you get paid a salary if you resign from work? You won't get paid a salary. At best, you might be paid a pension. Now, that is if you have pension. And I hope you guys are now aware of the two-pot pension system, right? Do you understand it? Go online and check it out. Hallelujah. Yeah, so find out the pension system here, yeah, so you're aware. Hallelujah. Okay, so there's a new, it's starting in September, but yeah, so if you're serving, if you're not serving, if you're no longer in active duty, you can't be promoted. Yeah. Right? A soldier who retired as a sergeant and cannot be promoted to a captain, because only those in active service can be promoted. Does that make sense? So as a child of God, if you're not seeing promotion, if you're not seeing increase, verify if you're still on service. Okay? Because it's God's agenda to promote you from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from testimony to testimony. Now, if there's no more promotion in your life, the last time God promoted you was 5 years ago, it means you were last in service 5 years ago. Hallelujah. So we must obey and serve God. How many are going to serve God here? You're going to be a servant of God. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. All of us can start this today to say, I will obey God and I will serve him. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you points as always. Hallelujah. Make it quick. Amen. Point number one, copy Jesus's example. Right? Copy Jesus's example. You must make up your mind. You know, if you're learning a job, get the best people in that industry to teach you. Right? Don't waste your time on wannabe mentors. If I'm going to play football, I'm not going to go to some guy who plays in the township. No one has heard of this guy. No, I want the best. So I'm going to watch the videos of the best. Learn from the best, right? If I want to learn public speaking, I'm going to watch videos and tutorials for the best and attend their classes if they've got master classes, right? Right. If I'm going to make money, I'm not going to go to some guy who's got a YouTube channel. Maybe I'm going to go to Dave Ramsey and spend some time there in Dave's class. Hello, somebody? Okay, so I'm trying to say, whenever you want to learn something, you don't have a spare life. Find the best person in that and do it. Now, when you want to learn service, guess what? Jesus is the best example. He's the best mentor in the area of serving. Hallelujah. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. So you must copy Jesus' example, because Jesus' example is the best. There is no servant like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is actually the guy who made servant leadership a thing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, right? He was talking to his disciples. Oh, the mother of John and James had come and asked for them to be at the right and at the left, to be the senior vice president of the organization. When the other guys heard it, they were so mad. How do you guys want? You understand? It was a big issue. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he called them to his side and said, kings and those with great authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects like tyrants. Hello? Yeah, so kings rule oppressively. They shut us down, lock down. You can't say anything. Right now, imagine the president you elected, you can't see him. Yeah, because you can't see him. Does that make sense? All right. So it's a system, it's a protocol. Next verse. Next part. But this is not your calling. Say, this is not my calling. Yeah, so as a child of God, don't desire to rule like tyrants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, but this is not your calling. You will lead by a completely different model. At work, in the secular, they can be dictators, and that's fine. But Jesus gives us another model, a completely different model. He says to us, the greatest one among you will live as the one who's called to serve others. This is the model. In the kingdom of God, in the work of God, not just in the body of Christ, the great ones are the servants. Okay? It's a kingdom of servants. If you want to be the best in the house of God, then you must be the best servant. Hallelujah. If you want to be the best in your marriage, you must be the servant. The best servant. Marriage is made up of two servants. And one eventually forgets who's the servant. Hallelujah. Mostly it's the ladies. They forget that I came to help. You understand? Now they want to be helped. Bring me water. Bring me food. Bring me... Now, like, who's the helper here? Because last time I checked, hallelujah, You will live as the one who's called to serve others, because the greatest honor in the kingdom, the greatest authority in the kingdom is reserved for those with Facebook likes, right? Come on, talk to me. Talk. I want to preach it. It's reserved for those with the greatest following. Is reserved for those who look like they are the greatest amongst us. No, but who is the greatest respect, honor, and authority reserved for? It is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant, with an attitude of a servant. That's why Jesus is the Most High, the Lord of Lords, because he had an attitude of a servant. Come on now, continue. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served, but to serve and give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. Jesus did not come to be a big shot calling the shots. He came to serve. And there's different ways you can serve. The best way Jesus could serve was to lay down his life for us. That was the highest form of service. Hallelujah. In every area, any organization you enter, any association with a family, find out what can I do to serve. That's how you get honored in the kingdom. That's how you get respect in the kingdom. That's how you get authority in the kingdom. Find out who to serve. When you get to your marriage, find out, how can I serve you today? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When you come to church, how can I serve today? When you go to cell group, how can I serve today? Jesus did not come to be served. I came to serve. Say, I came to serve. Yeah, if Jesus came to serve, then who are we to not come and to serve? Who are we to come and want to be served? Hallelujah. That's his example. Because he's the best. Imagine Jesus, though God, Philippians chapter 2, though he was, it says from verses 5, but let this mind, this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Though he was God, though he was the one who can command 1,000 angels, the one who does the mountains do whatever God wants them to do, but that God left his throne, left his glory, and he stripped himself and took off a president, not of a prime minister. He took the form of a servant. He came in a servant's attire, dressed as man, and he walked around like a servant. He came to say, how can I serve you? The sick he served with healing. Those demonically possessed he served with deliverance. The poor he served by getting the gospel preached to them. God left his throne. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send Michael. He didn't send nobody, but himself he came to save. So if the Most High has a servant's attitude and a servant's disposition, who are we? Ask your neighbor, who are you? To not serve. To not live a life of service. Who are you? To not live a life of service. If Jesus put aside that, then you can also put aside that I'm a husband. I can't do this, I can't do that. If our Lord could serve, then I can serve. A towel, which was the attire of servants. In others, you put a job. You know, it's like getting into a restaurant. Ne? Who should give you the menu? Who should bring you the food? Who should clear your table? Cleared the table for them. And Peter was like, no, you can't do this because you are my master. You are my pastor. You are my boss. I am the one who's supposed to serve you. And Jesus was like, do you know why I've done this? I've done this to give you an example. You call me Lord. Yes, I am. You call me master. Yes, I am. If I, your Lord, I, your master, can serve, then you guys better serve each other. Servants, we serve each other. Say, I'm here to serve you. To serve you. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. In the kingdom of God, if you want to be the highest, you go to the lowest. The shortcut to the throne is through service. The shortcut to honor is through service. The shortcut to authority is through service. So I've come to serve. Yeah. Follow Jesus' example. Yeah, he served. He never brought it up once, who he was. Hallelujah. Hey, man, are we still here? Yes, sir. I just feel a preaching anointing. Hallelujah. Number two, choose to serve God. What must you do? Listen to me, child of God. Service is a choice, not a gift. Service is a choice, not a gift. Joshua 24, verses 15. You understand? There's no one with the gift of serving. There's no one with the gift of let's say, sanctuary keeping. There's no one with the gift of ushering. There's no gift like that. But there are people who choose to do it. Hello? There's no one with the gift of waitering. There's no one with the gift of parking cars. I've been anointing pastor for parking cars. When they come and I say, come, they come. And I say, reverse. Brrr, pastor, that's my anointing. No one has a gift of service. It's a choice. Joshua 24, verses 15. It says, but maybe you don't want to, you know, Joshua was a pastor preaching, and this was towards the end. Was like, but maybe you don't want to serve the Lord. You must choose. It's a choice. You must choose for yourself. It's an individual choice. You must choose for yourself. Today, you must decide who you will serve. I've come to say today, you must decide who you are going to serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the devil? Today, you must decide who you will serve. Will you serve the gods that your ancestors worshipped when they lived on the other side of the Euphrates River? Come on now. Come on now. Next part. Oh, will you serve the gods of the Amorites who lived in this land? You must choose for yourself. But as for me, hey, I said as for me, yeah, and my family, we will serve God. Hallelujah. Service is a choice, not a gift. Serving God is a choice. It is not a gift. No one is too busy to serve God. They are just choosing not to serve God. No. No one is too busy to serve God. They are just choosing not to serve God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But Joshua wakes up one day and he says, as for me and my house. That is to say, as for me and my family. As for me and my wife. You must serve God with your family. Serve God with your spouse. Yeah. Serve God with your spouse. I said serve God with your spouse. Now serve God with your spouse. Find ways to serve God with your spouse. In case you don't hear me, let me say it in Greek. Find ways to serve with your spouse. Amen. You heard the Greek? Yes. Yeah. Joshua didn't leave his family. Yeah. If you stay in my house, we go to church on Sunday. Yeah, it's not, but my cousin, no, we go to church. You're under my roof. You're under my provision. Sir. Therefore, you go to church. Sir. Yeah. No, no, pastor, you know, there's no children's care. Sir, you go. Hebana reba us. Huh? When you go watch rugby, is there children's care? You sit with you find a way. Come on now. So find a way to serve God with your family. Don't you want them in heaven with you? Don't you want them blessed with you in heaven? Okay, so why are you leaving them out? Joshua was like, I'm not leaving my family. Serve God with Tiffany. Serve God with boy. Serve God with the children. Let them come to church and you're praying in tongues. It's a prayer seat and they're praying alongside. Serve God with the kids. Let them know that we're in church. You will see they'll start copying you. All of a sudden they'll start lifting hands when you get home. All of a sudden they'll start holding spoons as microphones because this is what they know. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that you should go. Listen to me. Your children don't need best friends out of you. Your children don't need big brothers out of you. Your children need fathers and mothers, parents who will train them up in the way that they should go.
Hey. You're preaching well, Pastor.
Please. Yeah. Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. What's happening? Feedback? Huh?
You.
What? Yes, Moose, we have sorted this out before. Yes, what's happening? Take out that fan thing and you create that. Come on, physics guys, you know this thing. Or change the frequency because this one is a different frequency altogether. I don't know. Give me a mic which doesn't have that. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's try this one. Okay, beautiful. Hallelujah. Yeah, Joshua was like, as for me and my house. I said, as for me and my... Yeah, if you're a man, tell them we're going to church. Yeah, if you're the mother, tell them we're going to church. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to church. Some of you, when you're growing up, your fathers initiated you in family ceremonies. Come on, talk to me. You didn't want, but they said, in this house. Did they not tell you that? They told you, you don't have a choice here. Now it's your turn to say you don't have a choice here. Your father comes and visits you in your house. You tell him, tomorrow we're going to church. In this house, we go to church. As for me, let it be known, I am choosing today. Let it be known, Pastor Mtoi is choosing to serve God. Yeah, service is a choice, not a gift. It's a choice, not a gift. It's a choice. It's a choice. You don't come for prayer. You're choosing not to come to prayer. And you see, everybody who's coming to serve God in the house of God can choose to do other things. But they're just choosing to serve God. Hallelujah. Are you going to choose to serve God? Tell your neighbor, say, serving God is a choice. Yeah, it's not a gift. It's a choice. Yeah, you choose to serve God. You choose to make yourself useful in the house of God. You choose to say, you choose to say, what can I do in the house of God? I remember I've told you before, ask not what your church can do for you, but rather, what can I do in the house of God? You choose to serve God. Number three, you must count the cost. Count the cost of service. Count the cost of serving. Count the cost. Hallelujah. Count the cost. Now, if we're to ask the guys, maybe you go to the mall or whatever, maybe let's say Canal Walk, right? And you find those guys there by 9 o'clock, they're closing the shop 9 p.m., right? And they organize transport for them. That's cost. Transport must deliver them everywhere. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about counting the cost. And maybe tomorrow morning they've got a morning shift. You understand? Is it not amazing how much you can bend for your job, but you can't bend for the work of God? I remember I used to be a waiter before. Yeah, I used to be a waiter in Sim Point. Yeah, waiting tables. And I kid you not, sometimes you can have the last shift is yours. And as a waiter, you can't leave the place dirty. You have to clean, mop everything, the chairs and everything. And you know what, Pony? It's 10 o'clock and I was using my city buses at the time. And the last my city buses are 20 to 11. And there's someone who's still sipping a cool drink. Oh my God. Understand? And I have to leave Sea Point and find a way to get to the Green Point to catch the bus going home. If I miss it, that's it. I'm on my own. You see, there's a cost to everything. But then I was like, okay, that cost is too small as compared to the financial benefit, which I thought I'd get at the time. So like, that's fine. And I'll sweep and I'll clean and I'll do everything. And the following morning, guess what? I have to be the one who opens and sweep again now that I've opened. Oh, Jesus. You understand? But I counted and felt like this is nothing. It's better than sitting at home. This is nothing. Hello? It's better than sitting at home. It's better than just rolling on my... You understand what I'm saying? I counted the cost to be a waiter, and I was like, the cost is nothing. Serving God also has a cost. I will not lie to you. Serving God also has a cost. Tell your neighbor, serving God has a cost. Yeah. I mean, we had our pre-service rally today at 7 a.m. Yeah? You don't even get to work at 7 a.m. But look at you now serving God. You are here for the first service. Please clap hands for yourself. You know, first service people, you are powerful people. Hallelujah. Yeah. You are powerful people. Luke chapter 9, verses 61 and 62 in the Message translation. Luke chapter 9, verses 61 to 62. Right? So Jesus was calling guys to his team. He was saying, I want you to work as staff. Then the other said, I am ready to follow you, master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination. Those of you saying, I'll serve God when I'm married, God is saying, no procrastination. Those of you saying, when I'll serve God when I graduate, God is saying, no procrastination. Those of you saying, I'll serve God when I'm in a relationship, God is saying, no procrastination. Those of you saying, I'll serve God when I have a car, God is saying, no procrastination. Those of you saying, when I'll serve God when I'm promoted at work, God is saying to you, no procrastination. Yeah. No procrastination. No backward looks. You know, sometimes you find people testifying, praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Lohane, before I got saved, I used to party all night. Huh? All night. I would do all night long. All night. Oh, huh? Yeah. You know, I used to, we would drive with our friends to Franschhoek just to drink and come back. But I got born again. Thank the Lord. What's your problem? You see, that person, when they're sharing that experience, they are magnifying where they are coming from more than where they are. They are saying, guys, we used to do this thing. Ah, but now we're saved. Ah, we're taking it easy. No. The testimony should be, you know, we used to once do wild things, party and all that. Oh, but now we are saved. Now we preach all day. Now we drive to Strand, St. Lawrence, to preach the gospel. Now we pray 12 hours. I used to dance 12 hours. Now I pray 12 hours. I used to drink without eating. Now I can fast the whole day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. No procrastination. No backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Tell your neighbor, say, you can't put it off until tomorrow. Yeah, because somehow we believe that God can wait. Yeah, God can wait. Hello? God can wait. You're putting it off for tomorrow. When I'm married, I'll serve. When I have money, I'll serve. Don't put it off. Start now. Start where you are with what you have, with who you are right now, and start serving God. Not putting it off until tomorrow. Hello? I said hello. Yeah, not putting it off. You know what I'm saying? Not putting it off until tomorrow. Yeah. No, you can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Yeah, you cannot do that. You can't say, I'm not coming for Sunday service, I'll come for Tuesday. You can't. God is saying you can't. You can't say, since I come for Sunday, I won't come for Tuesday. God says you can't do that. I love the word of God. It says, seize the day. Seize the day. Can I tell you something? One day, you're going to smell your last flower. Yeah. One day, you're going to eat your last meal. One day, you're going to, drink your last favorite juice. One day, you're going to see the sun for the last time. You understand? What would you do if today was that last day? You'll do the best, right? Yeah, but today can just be the last day. So you don't want an attitude of one day, you know. Do it now, you know. Do it now. Enjoy now. Yeah. Do now. We say tomorrow is not promised. Do it now. Whatever you do, do it now. Do it single. Do it married. Do it when expecting a baby. Do it. Do it now. Do it now. Tomorrow is not promised. Seize the day. Hallelujah. Yeah, tomorrow's no problem. I remember some time ago, I was on campus, I was a student, and I was chatting with somebody, and I was like, you know, most young people have this thing of saying that, you know, I'll serve God later when I'm older. Have you heard that? It's always encouraged. No, first live your life, then you can be serious with God later. But then I asked the person I was chatting with, who promised you later? What if this is it? What if this is it? What if when I was on campus, that was the highest Jesus would ever give me, and I was still waiting for later? No. No, ask your neighbor, hold on. Ask your neighbor, what if this is it? Yeah. You are still saying that, no, I'll have time. You don't have time. Tomorrow's not promised. Yeah, what if this is it? So preach with your heart. Sing with your heart. Serve with all of your heart because this is it. Tomorrow is not promised. You can't put off God's kingdom for tomorrow. You cannot do that. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I pray that you have been transformed by the powerful message. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Tor podcast. Shalom.